Morning, I just want to continue along the lines of what I shared 2 weeks ago. Discover the real you. You know, we're this is our month of discovery, and I shared about 2 weeks ago that, you know, as we embarked on the month of discovery, one of the reasons why I believe it was laid on my heart is the fact that, you know, I was asking God questions, that supernatural exploits. We are seeing it. We are seeing the exploits. But I was asking, I was hungry for more for his people. That, Lord, we want more of this. Fill your people more. Let us have more testimonies. Let us have some supernatural ones, some awesome ones, some unusual ones. Amen? And, you know, as I was meditating, I felt in my spirit that one of the reasons why many people are not reaching their potential or doing the great things or exploits for God is because they don't know the stuff that they are made of. Because they don't really know who they are. A lot of people don't have an understanding of what they've got on the inside of them. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, if you can turn there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, we have this treasure. There's a treasure on our inside. There's something God has put on our inside that needs to come out. There's something that God, there's a treasure that is inside us that we need to manifest in our lives. Amen? And I was explaining, I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but just for the sake of those that were not here, I was explaining that it's like gold. When you have gold, you don't find gold on the floor. You don't find precious metals on the floor. You don't find diamonds. You have to dig for it. You have to dig deep for it. Amen. And you know, one of the things that I always say, or that I believe, is that if you don't know who you are, you have not started living your life. Until you discover who you really are, your life has not yet started. In fact, in reality, what you are doing is you are living somebody else's life. Because the life you are living is based on what other people have told you, or what your friends or your parents or other, wherever you may have gotten it, or your environment may have told you that you are. And until you really discover who you are, what you are made of, you have not yet started living life. Amen? And you know, 2 weeks ago, I started talking about some of the tools that will help us to discover the real us, that will help us to mine the gold on our inside. And we looked at Genesis 1:26 that talks about God making us in our image and likeness. And I explained that the Spirit of God, and the fact that when God made man, he did what? The Bible says he breathed into man. So we have the Spirit of God on our inside. I explained that that's one of the key things. And if in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it talks about the spirit of man being the candlelight, searching the deeper things, knowing, searching the deep things, and God revealing through man's spirit what he has prepared for those that love him. Amen? So that was the first point. The second way which I said we can discover or mine the treasure inside us is seeing. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1:29, it talks about when God finished creating, in fact, not just 29, in a couple of verses, that when God finished creating on certain days, the Bible says he saw that it was good. And then further down in 29, it then goes on to say that he told Adam that, see, I have given you. Amen? He says, see, I have given you every herb. So God was saying, see. But prior to that, he had told Adam that, hey, be fruitful, have dominion, and everything is under you. So why did he have to say, see? It makes me understand that there's something significant about seeing. There's something key about what we see, what we behold. Amen. I went on to explain that, you know, we need to train our eyes to see. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. It talks about seeing and not perceiving, hearing and not understanding. Amen. And until you train your eyes to begin to see certain things, to begin to see in a certain manner, you cannot discover who you are. So some people read the scripture, but they don't see, well, they don't perceive what is in the scripture. Some people read the scriptures, but they don't have an understanding of what's in it. And the scripture is one of the things that you need to begin to see from a perspective that will cause you to discover the real you, not based on what people have told you. Praise God. Now, just moving on, the third thing that I just want to talk about that would help you to discover the real you is in Proverbs 23, verse 7. It's a scripture that we all know very much, but let's read it all the same. I know you can quote it. Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Another version says, "As a man thinketh, so is he." Thinking is one of the ways in which you can discover the real you. You know, your thinking can help you to discover the real you and mine the hidden resources that you have within you. We all have the ability to think. Every human being that has been created has the ability to think. But a lot of people don't use it. Am I speaking to somebody? Everybody has the ability, but not everybody uses it well. You know, over the years, I've had to change my way of thinking. And even now, I continue to change it. Why? Because I find out that I'm on a journey of discovery. I have not discovered myself fully. I keep on discovering new things about myself, new things about the things God has put on my inside. And for each point, or before I discover, I find out that my change in my thinking helps me to discover new things. Am I speaking to somebody? And you find out that when you don't think, then you cannot discover. Thinking makes you go deep. Thinking almost makes you go deep into yourself. But you see, a lot of people are too busy to think. You know, it's like the busy bee that is busy doing so many things, but the things that would propel them, they are not doing it. Am I making sense? You see, in reality, thinking is an intentional process. When I say thinking, I don't mean the type that you tell your husband or wife, I think you're harassing me too much. I think we should do this. That's not the kind of thinking. It's not the kind of thinking. I think you shouldn't wear that. I'm talking about an intentional process whereby you actually sit down, think about certain things. You know, somebody once said, I believe it was Jack Welch, he once said that 99% of employees do not think. And that's why most of them are at the bottom of the pile. So it's the 1% that think they're at the top. Now, if we analyze that and assume that's representative of the population of the world, that means 99% of the population do not think. Which means 1% of the population are the ones that do the thinking. And 99% do what the 1% tell them to do. And you find out that in order to discover yourself, you really need to think. You know, if I were to take a sample of the people in this room this morning, I would be very surprised to find out that more than half of the people here have ever thought, sat down to think about the things that shaped their life over the years. I'll be very surprised. A lot of people never think about what they are good at. A lot of people never think about their natural abilities. What are my natural... Let me just go back. You know, it's important to be able to think about the things that shape your life, because if you don't, your actions, your temperament, you will just be doing certain things, you won't understand why. Some time ago, we were talking with a certain lady. And in the course of the conversation, We were canceling, you know, but it wasn't anything major. We were just talking and canceling. And in the course of the conversation, we found out that, you know, whenever she has maybe an argument with her partner, what would happen is she would close up and keep quiet and, you know, just withdraw. And so in the conversation, we started thinking about talking, digging deeper. And, you know, at some stage, we said, what was it like when you were growing up and things? Now, when she was growing up, it happened that she's the last born in her family. And growing up, anytime she says something, it would be like, you are rude, keep quiet. So immediately, that just got out to, hey, shut herself up that there's no point in trying to contribute or to make a point. Now, in the relationship, that was easily going in there. Am I making sense? And because we were able to think about it and diagnose it, we identified that before it caused a major problem. It wasn't a problem, but before it caused a major problem later on. Am I making sense? Now, a lot of people will go through a process like that and not understand what shaped them. Years ago, when we first got married, I found out that whenever my wife tells, you know, if I want to do something or we want to make a decision, and my wife makes a suggestion and says we should do it this way, immediately I say no. I would just turn the other way, no, and go the other way. And I would say, you are trying to dominate me, you are trying to make decisions, no. Now, get this. I did not realize what had shaped my thinking until one day I started analyzing it and, you know, and sometimes, you know, good decisions, things that are right. Later on, sometimes I will go the other way and then make a mistake and come back. You know, which is typical of men when you are driving before sat nav. So, and, you know, well, at some stage, I sat down and started thinking about various things, about my family, about growing up and all that. And I realized my father is, was very quiet, you know, very quiet, easygoing. And my mother was the more dominant person. And now, I'm sure they had a good relationship and all that. But one way or the other, it's like when there's a decision to be made, usually we go to mom. When we need to be corrected or rebuked, it's mommy. And, you know, growing up, it had shaped my mentality. And one way or the other, I thought to myself, hey, I'm not going to allow any woman to. Now, my parents had a good relationship, and I'm sure it worked for them. But in my own head, shaped my way. And listen to me, until I sat down and thought about it, I realized that, hey, that has molded me and made me a certain kind of person. But that's not the real me. And it's interesting because sometimes you might make a suggestion about something or whatever, and maybe I may speak to my friend and he might suggest, and I'll go, oh, okay. When somebody else suggests it, yes. I'm sure there are some men in here that do that. I'm sure there are some men in there. No, the men don't have to answer. All right. Hallelujah. But you know what helped me in the process? By thinking, analyze, and looking at the years. And you know, sometimes, a lot of people, sometimes some people are just defensive. You know, you try to correct them, you try to, immediately the defenses come out. But they have not sat down to think that, hey, why am I the way that I am? Is this how the real me should be? But deep down, there's treasure on their inside. There's a softness. But because they have not thought about it to bring out that treasure, it's the dirt, it's the mold, the surface that is showing up. Am I making sense? So thinking is very key to us discovering ourselves. Amen? You see, A lot of people never think about what they are good at. They don't think about their natural abilities. A lot of people don't think about why they act the way they do. Why do I make the decisions? What process do I goes up on in my head? You know, sometimes we just become robotic. And we make decisions and we do things. But we don't stop to think why. And sometimes if we stop to think why, we'll discover more about ourselves. We'll discover the real us that God has made. Am I making, oh my goodness. You see, it is when you sit down to think that you, some years back, I sat down to think, and it was when I sat down to think that I realized that I'm quite good at problem resolution. You know, and that, now that's a gift. Now the interesting thing is, whenever there's a brick wall or an issue or a challenge or something, I immediately my head just shifts. And I'm thinking of alternatives, I'm thinking of options, I'm thinking of solutions. And in fact, when there's a problem, my adrenaline flows. I enjoy it. Well, not that, but I enjoy it because I'm looking for a resolution. Okay, how can we resolve this? What can we do? I'm thinking of creative ways or various things. And initially, I used to think that it's something that comes naturally to everyone. Until, you know, one day my wife just casually mentioned to me that I seem to be good in this area. She said, she likes the way I handled something. And I seem to be good at it. And I thought, that's normal. That's what everybody would do. And then I sat down and started thinking. And I realized that, hey, that is a treasure, one of the hidden treasures that God has given me. Because not everybody handles things that way. Am I making sense? When there's a brick wall or something, what do? I'm right in front of the brick wall. I'm thinking, okay, this, that. And not like going back or no. And not everybody, some people will withdraw. Some people get the freeze, some various things. So when you begin to think, you begin to discover. In fact, thinking makes you a better person in life. Some years ago, I met a certain gentleman, Dr. Miles Monroe, you know, and I was at dinner with him and some pastors, and he was just sharing some things with us. And one of the things, I don't remember what question, how it led to it now. But one of the things he said is that Mondays, that he does not go to the office, he doesn't do anything, he just sits down and thinks. That he just sits down and thinks. And now, initially I thought, all day, what are you thinking about? But I tried it a couple of times. I still try, but I can't do the whole day. But do you know that the effort of sitting down to think, it's hard work. But if you can begin to do it and do it intentionally, you find out that you begin to discover certain things. Especially if you combine it with praying. So you've prayed before you start thinking. So you agonize in the spirit. And then after agonizing, what you've prayed about, you know, a lot of, let me tell you what happens with a lot of people. A lot of us, when we pray, we just shift to shandadaba in the rebozondo, begin to pray in tongues. And after we pray in tongues, we just carry our bag and start going. And that's what tends to happen. But we don't wait to receive. One. And then also, in the process of thinking, sometimes you receive. Thinking is very key to you discovering. You know, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Philippians 4, 8, the Bible says that whatever things are pure, finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure Well, the first one is true. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue in it, or any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The NIV says, think on these things. The KJV says, think on these things. So why would Paul be telling the Philippians that they should think about certain things? He was telling them that, hey, there are certain things that would help your progress in life. So he was saying that the things that are noble, the things that are pure, the things that are of a certain dimension, meditate, think about those things. Why? Because it would help you. Amen? You know, Paul was effectively saying that choose the things that you think about. So be intentional, be selective and deliberate about your thinking, with your thinking, with your thoughts. And ensure that, hey, you spend time thinking. Listen to me. You will gravitate towards the area of your predominant thoughts. Let me repeat that. Each person here, you will gravitate. People that have a negative attitude, it is because their thoughts is negative. That's why they have a negative attitude. People that think positively, it is because they think positively or that act positive, that have a positive attitude. They are optimistic about life. You will gravitate towards. So if you begin to intentionally choose and deliberate on the things you choose or you think about, you'll find out that it will help you to discover more, to bring out more concerning your life. John Maxwell puts it this way. He says, changing your thinking will change your feelings. And that if you change your feelings, you will change your actions. And then changing your actions will change your life. You know, just you know a bit. You know that you will never know what you can do if you don't think. You would never know what you can do if you don't think. Because what will happen is that you will take the first thing that comes along, which is not necessarily what you should be doing. Amen? We're talking about discovering the real you. Your thinking process can help you discover the real you. I haven't gone deeper into this because that in itself is a whole message, the thinking process. And at some stage, we'll talk about it. But you see, thinking about your background, thinking about where you're coming from, thinking about the environment in which you grew up, thinking, there was one year that some years ago, I just sat down, while in my thinking process or whatever, I sat down and I started charting a timeline of my life. And as I did that, I noticed that a certain pattern that every so many years, God changes my location. It's like a promotion or changes my location in a certain manner. Every so many years. And it was consistent over about maybe 21 years or I don't remember how many years now. Now, if I had not sat down to think, so that, why I started doing it, when the time is coming, I'm preparing for it. I'm preparing for it. I'm praying, Lord, why? Because I'm expectant. I know that, hey, this seems to be the way God works on my life. But if I had not sat down to think about it, I would not have identified that. Amen. Number four, quickly. Number four. Numbers 12:6. Numbers 12:6. The Bible says in Numbers 12:6, some of the things that would help you to discover. It says, this is God speaking. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so in my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. where am I going? He says, if there's a prophet among you. Now, in reality, you are a prophet over your own life. Do you know that? You are a prophet over your own life. Now, God will usually reveal the real loss to us in dreams and visions. But a lot of people, because they lack understanding, what tends to happen is when they dream, they think they've just eaten too much. When they dream, they forget about the dream. Someday I'll talk about dreams. But do you know that the enemy, in fact, we need to be praying that God should remind us of our dreams. Because there are times that we dream and you wake up and you know you had a dream, but you can't remember where it was. And sometimes you know it's significant. And do you know that God will speak to you in a dream to reveal who you are or the things you should be doing or what he's called you to do? But sometimes what tends to happen with it, now I'm not talking about the kind of dreams that someone is chasing you. That one is not God. But sometimes someone might be chasing you and you overcome in that dream. So God is saying conquer certain things in your life. Sometimes. But get this. When God, let me use an example. The Bible talks about Joseph. The Bible says Joseph had a dream. He had two dreams. Now, do you know what the dream was about? God was showing him, the real him, that I have called you into a place of rulership. Am I making sense? God was revealing to him that, hey, this is who you are. No, though you are Joseph, little Joseph right now, but the real you is, this is where I'm taking you to. These are the things I've put on the inside of you, a spirit of kingship. And he held on to that dream. But you see, sometimes we dream and we forget about it. Visions. Some years ago, I'd just given my life, but, I'd just given my life, but I was one leg in, one leg out. Like some of you, but by God's grace, you'll have your two legs in soon. Amen. You know what I mean by one leg in, one leg out. You come to church and then you party the night before. Mm-hmm. I just gave my life, and it wasn't too long after I'd given my life, and I remember I was in Cardiff then, and there was this man of God. I don't even remember who he was now, but he came to minister in a place, so I went with some of my friends that were Christians. I was trying to grow a bit. You know, we went there, and, you know, for me, it was sort of all new. You know, after I preached and he was laying hands on people and various things, and, you know, it was very. So on the way back, or in fact, I think it was in the hall, maybe while we were praying, I sort of saw myself standing before people and preaching and laying hands. Now, this was, I wasn't even thinking of being a pastor. I did not even think in my wildest dreams. Now, on the way home, in my joviality, I was pumped up. I was laying there, putting my hand on top of one of my friend's head. I said, now, God showed me then the real me, what he had put on my inside. At that time, I did not understand it. I was just joking about it. I didn't fully understand it. And I just thought, but do you know, God showed it to me. He revealed it to me. So, your dreams and visions, don't take it lightly. Because through that, God will reveal who you really are, the real you, the treasure he's put on your inside that is meant to come out. Amen? You know, I would like to encourage everyone, have a journal where you write your dreams. You should have a journal whereby when you dream, you write it. In fact, you should have, when you have a dream, when you have a prophecy or you receive a word from God, you write it down in that journal. Amen? Hallelujah. Our dreams are very key. So Let me move on quickly. The third thing, number five, I beg your pardon, that will help you on your journey of discovery are the people around you. You see, the people around you, the right people, will help you to discover the real you. You know, I mentioned earlier that, my wife made a comment about how I handled something. Now, what did that do for me? It helped me to discover. You know, it got me thinking, helped me to discover that, hey, something that I take for granted, this is a treasure, one of my strengths, that I thought it's just natural. You know, it's interesting because, and I'll just use an article. I'll talk about an article that I read, that I came across. But it's interesting because a lot of times, the environment we grew up in would shape us and determine who we become. But you know, we cannot choose our brothers, we cannot choose our family. We cannot choose where we grew up. But at a certain age, we can determine our environment and what we surround ourselves with. Okay. Now, the people you surround yourself with will help you, the right people, that is, to discover the real you. You know, I came across an article some years back, and I'll use that as an illustration. It talks about a certain young boy, John Sabunya, from Uganda. Now, at the age of 3, he had a traumatic experience where he witnessed, you know, his mother being murdered. Now, there was an account that maybe it was done by his father or whatever the case may be. This article was written in 2003. Now, because he witnessed that, it was very traumatic for him that he ran away and ran to the jungle. Now, normally in the jungle, you can't survive at the age of 3. But what happened is that he survived because he was adopted by some African green monkeys. So the monkeys started feeding him and raised him up as their own. Now, this boy grew up thinking that he's a monkey. You know, walking like a monkey and behaving like a monkey. Now, in the year 1991, 3 years later, a tribeswoman saw him looking for food with the monkeys and reported it to the people in a certain village. So they went looking for him to try to get him. Now, they got him, you know, in fact, to get him, he was attacking them, you know, like a monkey would do. Anyway, they took him and went to put him in an orphanage, a Christian orphanage. Now, listen to me. This 6-year-old boy that was behaving like a monkey some years later, this 6-year-old boy, I just want to read it out to you. He was discovered that this same boy became a young athlete that went on to play for the Uganda national team in Special Olympics. This same boy, he sang, he used to sing so well that in the year 1999, he was chosen as a member of the 20 Strong Pearl of African Choir, which toured Britain for 3 weeks. This is a boy that grew up thinking he's a monkey, but he was plucked from that environment and put in an environment that was created something and brought out the hidden treasure in him. Am I making sense? I mean, the BBC did a documentary on the boy, and this was when at age 18. He played for the national team during the Special Olympics. He can sing. Now, that treasure was in him all the while that he was a monkey. Oh, no, not monkey. He was he thought. Why am I saying here? The environment. So right now, you may be behaving like a monkey. So, no, I don't mean it in an insulting manner, but it is true. Okay, you might not be behaving like a monkey. Maybe a monkey is sitting on your shoulders. I did tell you about the story of a man that, a pastor that God opened his eyes and he saw monkeys on people's shoulders in the church. I've told you about that. Okay. So there. So, you see, but listen to me. This same boy, when his environment was changed, What God had put on his inside started to come out. Get this. All the while, this same boy, that hidden treasure was in him. The ability to sing so well was in him. The ability to play football very well was in him. But what made the difference? The people that he surrounded himself with. A change in his environment made the difference. What am I talking about here? When you surround yourself with the right people, there are some things in you that will begin to come out. You'll begin to discover what you are made of, who you are made of, what God has put on your inside. Amen? Let me move on quickly. I'll round up here. I'll try to round up here. You know, the couple of points I've spoken about is talking about the identity, trying to discover our identity. Because when you discover your identity, the other thing we now need to discover is the resources at our disposal. Because, you see, it's one thing to discover your identity, to have begin to know who God has called you to be and things like that. But also, you now need to discover the resources you have. So what do I mean by that? It is possible to discover who you are, to discover the real you and not know the resources or not use the resources that you have. And you find out that when you begin to discover your resources or who you are, you begin to appreciate the resources God has put at your disposal. Amen? Well, what am I talking about? The Bible talks about a certain widow in 2 Kings chapter 4, from verses 1 to 7. It talks about that widow, and that Elisha asked her, that, what do you have in your house? Her first statement, answer, your maidservant has nothing. Can you put it up, please? 2 Kings 4. The first thing she said, your maidservant has nothing, but do you know that if she had stopped there, she would never discover the treasure within that but. Amen? It says, the maidservant had not anything in the house, save a pot of oil, but a jar of oil. You see, a lot of us here, we have a jar of oil, but we are looking at it and saying, this is nothing. There's a jar of oil in your hands, in your house, but we are saying that, hey, this can't do anything. But you see, until you begin to appreciate the resources and discover the resources that God has given you and appreciate it, that resource cannot multiply. You know, I always say that you use what you have to get what you need. Now, I don't mean that in a in the other way, because women now do it the other way. They use what they have to get what they need from men. I don't mean it in that sense. But I mean it in terms of the talents, you know, the things God has given you. You know, a lot of people are like the widow. She took the jar of oil for granted because she did not realize the treasure in that jar. She did not realize that that jar can multiply and sustain her and her children for years to come. She did not realize it, and she took it for granted and said nothing. That it's nothing, there's nothing. You see, when you begin to discover your identity, then the resources in your hands will become like the rod of Moses that became the rod of God when God took hold of it. So years ago, I did not know I could stand in the front of people and talk like this. But what happened? A friend of mine had a school then, and I had the skills that I needed. So he asked me, "Can I help, assist him to train people?" So I started training people based on the skills I had. And from there, I developed certain communication skills and various things. I had a little bit of it, but I didn't realize I had it. And in the school, I thought it would be simple, maybe about 10 people in a room. You know, you can easily handle that. But from there, I discovered communication skills and various certain skills that I had. And that served me well in my consulting role that I used to do in various roles. Served me well in the church. But that little jar of oil became something big. It became many vessels. You know, a lot of us have certain innate abilities that we just think that, oh. But you see, your jar of oil, let me put it another way. Let me put it another way, and I'll round up now. The Bible talks about David. You know, when he went to fight Goliath, what did he have in his hand? He had a sling and 5 stones. But do you know that the power behind the sling and 5 stones was stronger and mightier than the sword of Goliath? Do you know the difference between David and the army of Israel? David knew who he was. So he was, and because he knew who he was able to use the resources God had given him and not assume that, hey, this thing cannot do anything. Am I making sense? Whereas the army of Israel, they had all the armor, they had everything. They had loads of resources at their disposal. But because they did not know who they were, they could not effectively use the resources God had given them. There are certain resources that you have. Might not seem big, might look insignificant. But you know what you should you know what you should do? Just the way I mentioned about thinking, you need to sit down and think. What are the things that I do that people commend me about? What are the things that I do naturally? What are the things that I seem to be good at? What are the things that when I do it, I enjoy? And as you do that, you begin to find out that those resources that you have, and as you begin to work on them, they will become mighty in God's hands. And they will help you to discover more who you really are. Let's rise up and pray.